BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Hi, here is Monday, Scott Mills Daily. It's our podcast, isn't it? On the show, 24 years at the tap end. Chris thinks he's been wronged and wants to have the final say. Also, loving the trolls, more horrendous banter that we've been sent this week from some haters, but through the voice of Lauren so it doesn't sound as bad. I've got some advice to the lads about some girls that are going around at Christmas being sneaky, and news of the latest celebrity power couple.
BBC Radio 1.
Hit the theme tune.
I've boshed banter in Prague, I've dressed up as a Smurf, I've swapped lives with a German, bought strip pens in France, I've covered teachers in sunscreen, nearly drowned in some foam, I had a naked massage, me and my mates had a laugh, I did
24 years at the top end.
At the tap end.
Sorry, I was just enjoying the theme tune.
It doesn't grow old.
Well.
Or does it?
I'm not sure it's going to be around in like 20 years.
I think it needs another verse and a chorus maybe and turn it into a proper song.
Not 20 years though, I don't think. No. I think we've got to be honest.
I think that's pushing it.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we today, please?
It's actually an event that we all know and have spoken about before, but I've written a small statement to sum up this chapter, if that's all right with you.
A statement?
Yeah, just a sort of header on the top of this chapter. I quickly wrote it.
OK, is this in capitals? We have to imagine.
Italics.
Italics, OK.
It had been a controversial story that I feel has been wrongly reported and represented. My turn to give my side of the story. What really happened that day?
So this is quite recent, is it?
It is, yes. And it's from our time in Edinburgh when I attempted to do the chicken nugget challenge, which I've had no end of stick from you two. And I think it's about time I give my side of the story.
Now, I think you can still watch this, can't you? Radio 1 YouTube, it's still there. Chris trying to do the chicken nugget challenge on stage at the Fun and Filth Cabaret in Edinburgh.
So I'm going to give you the story of that day. If okay. That's okay with
as
you,
you see it through your eyes.
Through my eyes, exactly what happened. The truth.
Sure. Right, let's get on with
it. Well, I'm Clive Keane. And I'm ready.
I'm going to be Tom from Keane.
I'm Milton Keynes.
Nice roundabouts.
Ready. It had been a tiring, intense day so far. I was with Scott Mills and the rest of the team in Edinburgh, Hello. Scotland, putting the final preparations to that evening's Fun and Filth Cabaret show. To be fair, I was mainly just trying to stay out of people's way. I wasn't being entrusted with too many responsibilities.
What do you mean?
Everyone was so busy. The one that doesn't speak was all over the place trying to sort that evening. He had a lot to do.
A lot.
Becky was quite busy. You were sort of busy. But I had nothing to do. Literally, no one would give me any jobs, even though there were a lot to do.
Yeah.
The day had been busy, though. We had done our normal radio show, which had all gone well, even despite the tiredness from a weekend in Zante the day before. For me, it was just really exciting to be at the Fringe. It was my first proper run out as an official team member, and like every time I've run out onto a pitch when playing football, I knelt down and kissed the turf of the Astro on the seated bit outside the studio.
You did as well!
And pointed to the sky. It was a big moment.
You did.
You know that bit outside the studio where people could go and sit down? There was a bar, there was an AstroTurf.
Yeah, fake grass, yeah.
And as we walked through the gates, I did feel emotional as we all walked through together. It was like us and a few other people from work. That I did do what I did with football, and that's just bend down, sign the cross, bend down, and then look to the sky.
I did witness this.
Did you just think he dropped something?
Yeah.
One of the big highlights of the Radio 1 show was the catering truck next door to the studio, which, although Becky was wary of, was a complete revelation for me. I was given a lunch token every day, starting with beef olives on day one, which I'd never had before, but were epic.
I remember how excited you were about this, because you kept going, oh, I wish we could take this back to work, I wish we could get one of these back at home.
We don't get lunch here.
We do get lunch here, but we just don't have a catering van, like, on hand 24 hours a day.
It's like a shop we can go to.
I mean, it was brilliant.
He'd never
seen it. Really was brilliant.
Mm.
Beef really, olives?
I know.
What is really, a beef
I
olive?
Didn't think I'd like them. I don't like olives.
Is it beef or olive?
It's beef. Get this. It's
is it like
beef.
A beef tomato?
It's beef with stuffing inside it. It's great.
So it's not an olive at all?
No, and it's just covered in gravy and...
You've changed.
Anyway, it was a great lunch.
He was like, what, even tea and coffee? I was like, yeah?
Yeah.
Get involved?
Yeah. Yeah, and a bread roll. I was wary of eating too much that day, though, as that night was to be the night that I was going to attempt to beat the world record for the most amount of chicken nuggets eaten in 3 minutes, a record that stood at 21. I would have to eat 22 in under 3 minutes to win this challenge, and talk of a potential date with in-betweeners lovely Emily Atack. All day, I was fairly confident that this was going to go my way. However, as the day moved on, a few nerves started to set in. I didn't quite realise the scale of the event, and as the day progressed, I saw the massive theatre that the cabaret was happening in, and all the cameras setting up ready to show this on the red button and on the Radio 1 website.
You got scared.
I hadn't really thought about all of this. I just sort of blocked it out until then, I think.
No, actually, you were being uber confident.
Yeah, 22, I could do that.
I didn't think it would be a problem.
You really didn't, though.
There were a few hours to kill between the radio show and the Fun and Filth Cabaret, so not having much to do, I decided to have a beer and decide on my tactics for taking the chicken nugget challenge. I hadn't done much research on the subject, but having starved myself all day, I decided that the best way to get ready for the challenge was to start my engine.
What about the beer and the beef olives?
Yeah.
I decided to start my engine by treating myself to some fried chicken. Oh. This made me more hungry, though, and a few of the guys were treating themselves to food from a Portuguese chicken restaurant, which sounds like Fernando's. So I helped myself to a bit of that as well. I met the lads from Scouting for Girls, who had written a song all about my attempt at the nuggets, which was going to be performed by them live throughout the challenge. I asked for their advice, and they told me I just needed to go for it. Speed was the key. I trusted their opinion, why wouldn't I? And then I heard the crowd roar, and the Fun and Filth theme tune start up. I suddenly realised this was all real. I watched as one by one acts were called up and brought to the side of the stage, each time greeted with a massive cheer. Then a man with a headset came to our area and called for me to come up. I looked up, and as I walked up the ramp, various people patted me on the shoulder and wished me luck. It reminded me very much of the video to the classic Busted song, Who's David?
I'm not familiar. Remind me?
So the whole video to Who's David, in case you don't know, is their backstage at what looks like sort of Wembley Arena, and it's there, they get told in the dressing room, right, showtime, and then it's them moving from the dressing room to the stage.
How exciting.
But it's really exciting and very dramatic, and the cameras follow them as they go through. And
Becky's just now watching the video.
I'm just trying to find it, yeah. There's no nuggets so far.
No, there will be no nuggets in this.
But... He's just talking about the build-up.
Oh, right.
Now, let's not forget, the stakes were quite high with this challenge, because if you actually achieved the world record for chicken nuggets, you would have won the hand of Ms. Emily Atack.
Yes, yes. Well, exactly. That was the other added pressure.
That was the thing. It was a date with Emily, wasn't it?
Yeah. That also made it a very unnatural environment as well, because there's not many food-eating competitions where you win an in-betweener at the end of it. Mm. Or an in-betweener lovely. She's not an actual in-betweener, is she? The lads from Scouting for Girls gave me a pep talk. I could see through the curtain there were a lot of people in the room. And then I was given my cue from the man in the headset. 3, 2, 1, on you go. I gave him a second glance. I wondered if he was the same side of the stage guy that was on the X Factor.
I knew you were going to say that.
It was an odd moment because he did that. And I was sort of so focused on going on and doing the job. And then all of a sudden my mind was distracted by him. I was like, hang on a minute, you've robbed that line. But I had to quickly forget that trail of thought. I walked out on stage and one of the more intimidating situations of my life. After a small chat with Scott and Grimmy, I sat down at my seat where I was doing the challenge. The nuggets were in front of me. It was clear they had been sitting there a while. I looked up and people were just staring at me, and there was a large camera pointing right in my face. This was not a happy eating environment. This wasn't a hut of pizza buffet or a Chinese all you can eat with my cousin situation. In fact, I didn't really feel hungry at all. And then Scouting for Girls started up. That was weird enough. They were singing a song about me. It was not a natural environment, but going for it, I grabbed 2 nuggets and tried to stuff them both in my mouth.
Oh.
But the nuggets were cold, and this was clearly the wrong way to eat them. They wouldn't go down. They just congealed into a nugget ball. I was struggling in a very public way. I tried to just stuff more into my mouth, but nothing would go down. I was making things worse. It suddenly began to get very hot. This was not helped when Emily Atack got up off her seat and started to force-feed me more of the nuggets. I desperately tried to man up, but swallowing such a huge nugget ball made me feel massively ill. Before the challenge, for health and safety, I had agreed a secret sign if I felt I was going to be sick, so that they could move the cameras away from me to someone else. I needed to do this sign. I was wary, however, that Scouting for Girls had written a whole song, and I didn't want to cut that short. For a minute or so, I held it in. Although the crowd cheered me on, there was nothing I could do. I gave the secret sign. I had failed. I needed 22 nuggets to win. I got 7. It was an incredible opportunity for me to show my worth, and I felt I let everyone down.
How many did you actually swallow? Was it just 7 nuggets in your mouth, or did you... like, did you actually swallow any?
Well, if we're going to be pedantic, I thought I got more in my mouth, actually, than 7, and the big screen wasn't keeping up. So
so now you're blaming someone else, the operator of the big screen.
I felt he had a part to play, actually, in my
Do you think he had ulterior motives?
What do you mean? Jealous?
Yeah, do you think he also fancied Emily Atack?
I think he did. I was looking at the big screen at one point, but I looked behind me and it said 2. I was like, come on, you're having a laugh. At least help me out here. We're all on the same team,
Maybe he's counting nugget balls rather than actual nuggets.
Chris, it wasn't very many, whatever it was. We were all there.
I felt I let everyone down.
You did?
Yes.
I got a lot of stick for my failure, but I hope more people can now empathise with me a bit. If you're ever boshing nuggets, my advice would be slow and steady and don't eat a large amount of chicken before. It was one of the stranger experiences of my life so far, but I've become a stronger man for it. So does that clear up what happened on that day, really? I feel like I've almost made things worse for myself.
Yes. I think you blame quite a few people apart from yourself.
I think there needs to be an inquiry. I think there needs to be a full inquiry into this.
Is this going to be like the Leveson of chicken nuggets?
I think it could be. I think it's got legs, this. The thing is, with my time at the Tap-In, there hasn't been that many regrets. But that is probably my biggest regret so far. Because I know I could have done better. Mm. I know I could have done better.
And if you had done it, by now you'd be Mr. Emily Atack, possibly.
Technically, she would have been Emily Stark, probably, wouldn't she?
Yes, whatever you want to think, but yeah.
Imagine being called Mr. Atack. That's a good name, isn't it? I'd pronounce it Attack.
I've bossed banter in Prague. I've dressed up as a Smurf. I've swapped lives with a German. Bought strip pens in France. I've covered teachers in sunscreen. Nearly drowned in some foam. I had a naked massage. Me and my mates had a laugh. I did
24 years at the Tap End.
At the Tap End.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Something that is, along with Bingo and Tap End, becoming a lot of people's favourites on this show.
Loving the trolls.
Too high.
Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. Loving the trolls. Yeah, we're loving the trolls. Loving the trolls.
Why don't you join in, please?
We've had this before. I can't do it. I only rap. I can't sing.
Okay, so we have a computer here, which has got a silly voice. It's called Lawrence. And what I want you to imagine, if you ever get any kind of abuse on Twitter or Facebook or just to your phone on text, just think, that person... what they've texted you, they speak like that all the time, even to their mum and dad. They have this voice, okay? It just makes any abuse that you get much easier to handle because it just makes you laugh. So, let's begin.
Loving the trolls.
Here's one we got this week. Over to you, Lawrence.
This banter is so pathetic.
What was that?
This banter is so pathetic.
Oh, the banter is so pathetic. That's not true. I'm the Archbishop of Banterbury.
I'm Bantonio Banderas.
I'm Banter Claus.
I'm... and...
Bantony Worrell Thompson.
You can never do that one.
No.
If you're Bantony Worrell Thompson, I'm Bantony Costa.
Oh, why do you have to have him?
I'm utterly bantery.
That's not really
good. Rubbish.
I'm Banton Dubec.
How dare you say our banter's pathetic?
Shut up and play music, please.
Okay, good. Thanks very much for your comments there. Remember, that person talks like that all the time. All the time.
This banter is so pathetic.
I can't believe it's not banter.
That's rubbish as well.
It's better than utterly bantery.
It is, it is. Well, it's not even one.
I thought it was good at the time.
Really not. I think what you've done there is you've written it down and then it actually came out of your mouth. It's like, not as good. Okay, next please, Lawrence.
Fatty, fatty, bum, bum, Mills.
Very, very good.
Fatty, fatty, bum, bum, Mills.
Fatty, fatty, bum, bum, Mills. What even is that?
I think, do you know what? I think that might have come from when you were talking about how you eat a three-course meal at 2 a.m.
Oh, yes, my fridge raids, which I'm doing a lot at the moment.
Fatty, fatty, bum, bum, Mills.
Fair play. Absolute fair comment.
I'm Banton Deck.
Can we stop this now?
Why?
I'm Banter Claws. Have we done that one?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh. Standard.
Okay. And next on Loving the Trolls.
Cap End is utter. It's made up rubbish, which anyone with half a brain could do. The lad Chris is a total idiot like yourself. Get off this radio station, you total numpty.
You absolute numpty.
Do I address this one?
So, yeah. Tap End is...
Tap End is utter. It's made up rubbish.
Here we are, respond. Tap End is made up rubbish.
Well, it's not. I mean, that's the thing. It's not made up.
It was today, though.
I'm responding to the troll here.
No, but it was made up today, because you were given some excuse or other about why you failed the chicken nugget challenge.
Yeah, apart from that.
Well, no, that was my side of the story.
But it's all real stories about your life, but don't even bother replying to them. No, they don't even deserve it.
The problem I've got is I am actually running out of ideas for Tapper. We're going to have to finish it soon anyway, because
We need season two to end at Christmas.
What I love most about this is that you're disputing whether or not it's made up. You're not disputing that it's just total rubbish.
Oh, well,
He says it's utter. And you're like, well, that's factually correct. But I just like to say it's not made up.
And also, we need to talk about this because you're struggling to remember things worthy of putting on Tap End now. Didn't we not talk about some kind of like hypnotic regression or something before, which he could have so he could remember? I think I had that once and I ended up being a vicar.
I think this is a great idea if... I don't know how we go about sorting this, though. That's the only thing. But right. Some hypnotherapy.
Or just ring one, maybe?
Well, I could find you one, but I'm too busy being Duncan Banter Time.
I like it when I don't see them coming. All right, and next.
Please, Scott, stop playing this garbage. It's sharking rubbish. How are my ears?
What's that? Sharking rubbish? Again.
Please, Scott. Stop playing this garbage. It's shocking rubbish. How are my ears?
I think because Lawrence is so posh, it's actually shocking. But I like sharking music.
What, music to shark to?
Yeah, the That'd best be sharking album ever. Pass that on to Mrs. Mead. Yeah. So that music to shark to.
Yes.
If you don't listen to the show normally, you're going to think, who's Mrs. Mead and why is she a sharking expert?
Deborah Meaden, that's why you have to listen every day, kids, 1 till 4. Next.
Please, Mr. Mills, grow up. You are the only person who seems to like you as a DJ. Please just play some music and stop talking, or you will be 4 more people down as we will change to Radio Devon.
Bye then.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
See, I think there's only one answer here, and that is, like, to clear your name, we need to do this chicken nuggets thing again. A lot of people are saying the same. One of our listeners says, if you do manage to win Emily Atack, then your double-barreled name, you'll be Chris Stark Attack.
Which is epic.
Which is good.
Chris Stark Attack.
The thing is, it's a bit... It would be really bad if I did it again and didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what I mean? Like,
should we train you up? Like, maybe, like, once you... If you practice on popcorn chicken,
yeah,
and then like once you get to 8 of them, then we'll give you the nuggets.
Or because it's Christmas, we could start you on some turkey Twizzlers.
So what do we need to do? I've tweeted her.
Already?
Yes, suggesting this Stark Attack thing if if I can bosh the nuggets.
So what did you actually say in your tweet to Emily Aitken?
I can't remember. I sent it in a bit of a hurry.
Right, so if the in-betweener Lovely, as you described her in Tap End, if she says, yes, Chris, we are definitely on, if you can break this chicken nugget record,
yeah.
Do you want to have a rematch?
Well, it'd be good to right the wrongs, wouldn't it?
Can I give an update?
Yeah.
She's replied.
Uh-oh.
So Chris said to her, if I do break this nugget challenge, is it on? Just realised it would make my name Mr. Stark Attack, which is epic.
Is it on?
She's replied within 5 minutes, saying, it's on, capitals, 20 nuggets, no sauce, no drink, and you're only allowed to vom once. Hashtag romance, hashtag Mr. and Mrs. Stark Attack.
Oh, awesome.
I like it. She's going to change her name as well, so they're the Stark Attacks.
I know. What a power couple.
That'd be amazing. Well, let's do that then, because we can change it. Oh, it's not a deep poll thing, is it? We just change it on Twitter, I imagine.
Yeah, just do it on Twitter. It'll be fine. Move over, posh and backs. Stark Attacks are coming.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Bit of public information for you as Christmas approaches. Please do be safe out there this festive season. I've been told that there are girls out there that get boyfriends just to get presents for Christmas and then dump them via text on Boxing Day. Somebody bitter has just texted in saying that they are out there. So just watch out for these girls because they will trap you just to get the presents.
The Scott Mills Daily.
So whether you like it or not, Christmas is a-coming. Every actual advert on TV is Christmas now, isn't it? And we are trying to do this thing where we're creating the ultimate Christmas song on this show. So last week, we spoke to Noddy Holder, who has one of those songs. He's got one of the handful of songs that has just been around forever at Christmas time. 40 years, that song?
Something.
Yeah. Well, he's like the Yoda of Christmas for us. He's like a little Muppet who knows absolutely everything about Christmas.
Did you just call Noddy Holder a Muppet? A little Muppet.
A little Muppet
at
that knows everything about how to make a Christmas song. Because his one is, like, huge in this country. So, from his advice, from Noddy Holder's advice last week, Chris took all that on board, he wrote it all down, and this is what Chris came up with. Have you not heard this already? It's like a first draft attempt for us.
Turkey crown, Brussels sprouts, Christmas pud, chocolate coins, reindeer, lots of beer, it's nearly here.
Christmas!
Nativity, wheels of cheese, Christmas trees, all the meats, mince pies, chicken thighs, family size.
Christmas!
Sweet, sherry, dry, sherry nans, getting very merry, pigs in blankets, port, stuffing, festive telly.
Christmas!
Snowball, baubles, fats are small, elves aren't tall, Churchill, snow might fall, it's very cool.
Christmas!
Ah, Santa, come in. I've been expecting you. Have some eggnog. Ah, Mrs. Claus, come in. Let's have some more eggnog.
Half price, cracked ice, miles and miles of carpet tiles, TVs, deep freeze.
David Bowie LPs!
Pool games, gold chains, was names and attapus and Trevor Francis track suits from a mush and shepherd's bush.
Bush,
bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush, bush.
Christmas!
Now, we had so much Twitter and positive Facebook reaction to that last week. We don't know whether that is going to be the ultimate Christmas song. I mean, maybe we could build on that. Maybe we could do something completely different. But it's a start.
I am finding it weird how many sort of positive messages I get about it.
Yeah.
We made a video as well for it.
Yeah, where's that?
I like this video. It's on YouTube, on the Radio 1 YouTube.
So just put Radio 1 into YouTube and you'll find it.
Yeah, Chris Christmas Song it's called.
So it's got that, but with kind of visual accompaniment. And,
yeah,
and it goes through every single one of the things that he mentions.
It's literally say what you see. So when he says mince pies, they pop up.
A wheel of cheese, that comes
it's
up.
It's there. Nan getting very merry.
It's almost a bit phone jacker-esque.
Yeah.
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 It's on the Radio 1 YouTube now. Go and have a look. We could do with all the views. We got some views, but we could always do with Mole. And Mrs. Claus is quite something, isn't she?
Oh, yes.
I can see why you offered her more eggnog.
I had to spend ages looking at sexy Santas in work to get that picture, yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. But if you want to see the video for that, go to Radio 1 YouTube, Chris Christmas Song, it's called. And we've got some more advice coming later on this week about how to maybe build on that, or just to start again.
What are you saying?
Depending on what people think. We're trying to make one that's going to be around forever.
Yeah.
You don't think that was just got...
our... Well, I don't know. I mean, that was just our first attempt. That was our something to work with. I mean,
well, people do really like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking we should maybe do something, you know, more epic and more serious.
More epic than that?
Well, I'm just
put a choir on it.
That we could maybe do that.
Put a choir on it.
Maybe something that doesn't have the whole Only Fools and Horses theme tune in it.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to get us in trouble.
Because that's going to cost us money,
isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Someone somewhere is going to want some cash for that.
Like, whoever
we didn't
wrote
write
that.
It.
Yeah, whoever wrote that Only Fools and Horses
it's
theme.
Not, well, what I'm going to say is then that's not the Only Fools theme. It's just a coincidence. I thought
you can't steal someone
else's
work.
Clearly is.
And then say, oh, it's a coincidence.
Anything else you'd like to add? Maybe you've got some comments you can put under the video. That would be great. Let us know how we can improve. Let us know what else you'd like in there for the ultimate Christmas song.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
So who is ready for Monday's Real or No Real?
Ruddo.
Ruddo?
Clive Keane.
Oi. Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay, go. Let's go. So, stuff that is... frankly, sometimes unbelievable, but is real, and some stuff that I sometimes do think is real, but is sometimes no real at all. It's fact versus fiction on Real or No Real. If you play along at home, you can get 10 Scott Mills points for each one you get correct. So you just say Real or No Real. Simple. Here we go.
Bras did not exist until 1913, and were originally two handkerchiefs tied together with a ribbon.
Okay. I
know nothing about bras. I'm saying this out.
Becky?
I don't know when they were invented, but I've certainly never tried it with two hankies and a ribbon.
Would that work?
Well, not the... mine wouldn't fill a hanky.
They would.
thank you, Scott.
It is. This is a fascinating fact, though, isn't it?
I'm trying to work out the mechanics of it. I don't know.
It can't have, I mean, it can't have been an issue that suddenly, you know, needed solving in 1913. Do you know what I mean? It must have been.
I think that just was a coincidence that that's when it was invented.
No, because what about corsets and all that sort of stuff? So they must have had like underwiring before then. I'm going to say this is false.
So no real.
I think in the cave days there was just leaves and wasn't there?
In the cave days there was just leaves.
I'm just going to say no real.
No real.
That one is real.
Oh, what a brilliant year 1913 was. Don't be looking it up. Don't be questioning my real or no reals. Becky's like, no, don't believe this. Okay, here's your next one.
The first recorded pie recipe is seen on an Egyptian temple dating back to 1600 BC. Its filling is wasp and parsley.
Oh, lovely.
Lush.
No, that's no real.
They wouldn't have, I mean,
they wouldn't have had parsley, would they?
What, back in, was it Egyptian times it said?
Should I say it again?
Sorry.
The first recorded pie recipe is seen on an Egyptian temple dating back to 1600 BC. Its filling is wasp and parsley.
No, I don't think that's believable, just because of the... they wouldn't have had wasp. You know what I mean? Like, even... Why would they? I mean, that's not something that survived throughout the ages.
No, but finally, a use for wasps. Because what else is the point of them?
But you can't... Yeah, I can't see this being real. I'm going to say no real.
Becca?
No real.
That one is no real.
Should I be keeping score for this?
Next.
Okay, so... Flo Rida's Low has sold 8 million copies, the same as the Beatles' Hey Jude.
No way.
Wow. Two very different songs.
There's only one Flo and one Rida.
Oh, I don't know. This is tricky, isn't it?
He's got all the monies, if that's true. Just by talking
about... I mean, what would be interesting is if Flo Rida had released that then and someone released Hey Jude now, you know, would that still be the case?
What, in the 60s?
Yeah.
Apple bottom jeans? Yeah. Actually, it might work.
I'm going to say real. I think this is one of those that... Because they're both popular songs, aren't they?
If this is true, Ollie Murs needs to ask him for some money.
I'm going
to
say no real.
No real.
That one is real.
Oh, my word.
It does make sense to me because You know, even most student club nights that I go along to, Flo Rida is played and Hey Jude at the end of the night. I mean, right. It does make sense.
Think about it.
Paul McCartney never made that noise.
Let it rain. Let me talk to you.
Imagine, in all those concerts the Queen goes to, imagine if they...
This was the closer.
Yeah, instead of Hey Jude. 8 million.
I think it would break it up a bit.
Do you?
Yeah, you know, you're so used to Paul McCartney coming out at the end now. If Flo turned up, it'd be like, yes. Two steps, come on.
Don't
Three
do
steps,
that. Don't on. Do that cry one. But apart from that, do all the others. Yes, actually, you're right. Club can't handle me. I think I would prefer to Hey Jude now.
You actually just said that.
Next.
To combat against all MP3 and file sharing, music is banned completely from the countries of Sweden and Switzerland.
So no music in Switzerland or Sweden.
No reel.
Definitely no reel, because they love a yodel, don't they? The yodeling. Is that right? Is that a
Not
Swiss...
so much in Sweden.
It is a Swiss thing, that, though, isn't it? Yodeling. I know for a fact that's not banned, because they do that a lot.
Mm.
So, on that basis...
I like
basis,
your power of deduction.
Yeah, on that basis, I'm going to say this is a no-reel.
Do you know what? You'd be really good on those TV quiz shows where they force you to explain even the most obvious answers.
Yeah. Also, who won the Eurovision Song Contest last year?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Sweden.
Yeah, exactly. So, therefore...
That
music
one
is banned.
Is a no reel.
It's no. After that, they banned music.
Yeah.
It's a new law. Next.
In the Netherlands, it is illegal to stand next to a member of the opposite sex while carrying your underwear.
Can't say I've tried it myself. Went on my trips to Amsterdam.
Did you just say it was illegal to do that?
In the Netherlands, it is illegal to stand next to a member of the opposite sex while carrying your underwear.
So how does that work in the laundrette?
You're not allowed. It's men-only sessions and then women-only sessions.
No way.
Okay, yeah. Well, this has happened to me. Let's say that I'm in Amsterdam, right? I've bought a new pair of pants. I've got them in my shopping bag, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk by. I've actually got my underwear.
He's then broken the law.
I've broken the law.
You have to order underwear online.
Well, I've done this. I've broken the law in the Netherlands.
Or you buy the underwear and then immediately, as soon as a lady sees you, you are breaking the law. That's ridiculous. That can't be real. No real.
That one is real.
Oh, no. Well, I'm a lawbreaker. And that was today's Real or No Real with some interesting facts in there. Who knew? I need to be really careful on my next trip to the Netherlands. What are you saying?
I got 0.2 and Chris got 140. I've decided to just start scoring it like QI.
Okay, yeah, fine. One more like this, then listen tomorrow between 1 and 4 on BBC Radio 1. It's a Tuesday, so at 1:45 we'll have Innuendo Bingo. Also joining us tomorrow is comedian Jason Byrne. Scott
Mills, Radio 1.
BBC
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads.
Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.